That should be Facebook Live and podcast audio up and running. And bring that in. Good. Clean. All right. And I confused myself a little bit. I think after doing the program yesterday, like some reason my brain clicked and I thought yesterday was Tuesday. Yeah, so then when I saw show notes, I was like, fucking, it's fucking Wednesday. No, it's not. It's Wednesday tomorrow. It's Tuesday now. Tuesday, August, not August, October 3rd. Good. Good to have a fucking big-ass calendar with bold print.
Yes.
For the motherfuckers with fucked up eyes. Mm-hmm. All right.
By which you mean both of us.
Yeah. Yours more so because you don't even have glasses.
I don't.
Yeah, and then... God, dude. Yeah, when you get a financial setback, you start thinking of all the shit that you wanted to do, like, in the next 6 months. And you're like, well, fuck it all then.
Yep, basically.
Yeah, but fucking, and I gotta make a post for the Patreon heads that came through and folks that hit up the PayPal, gotta make a post for them, for that, and then from there, I know we're getting to some gosh darn wine cellar.
Yes.
News and comment, you have it.
I have it. Are we ready for the headlines?
Yeah.
All right. Milo Yiannopoulos makes it official with his houseboy. Great. That's gonna be fun.
That's the title of the episode.
Really?
Yeah.
You really went in for that clickbait. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to make fun of that guy, though. A makeshift black people-only food cart caused plenty of indigestion Thursday in the Bronx, outraging onlookers who called the stunt racist. A man and woman set up the cart around 9 a.m. outside the Bronx Supreme Court, advertising their free donuts and juice on styrofoam plates. Their three handmade signs read, "Free food for black people." Passersby weren't amused. "Are you kidding me? If I did something like that, it would be considered hate," railed one woman, who was repeatedly denied any grub when she confronted the duo. A young man running the cart also refused to serve a Post reporter. And the woman insisted the cart was not just restricted to African Americans. "Mexican people are black," she offered. The pair closed up shop around 10:30 a.m. That's just fun. Two carers are accused of taunting vulnerable dementia patients by apparently torturing comfort dolls that they believed were real babies and are due to stand trial. Sickening images allegedly taken at the Ashbourne House Nursing Home in Middleton, Greater Manchester, appear to show dolls being hanged and put in a tumble dryer in a saucepan. Jesus. Shauna Higgin and Victoria Johnson were charged with neglecting and mistreating elderly people in their care and appeared at Bury and Rochdale Magistrates Court today. The Supreme Court in the United States is considering a voting rights case. Gill versus Whitford is straightforward enough. After taking control of Wisconsin's legislature and state capitol in 2010, Republicans used computer models and voting data to redraw political boundaries in the assembly, the legislature's lower house. The map cemented the Republican majority in place. In the three elections since, Democrats have never won more than 39 of the 99 seats, even when they won a majority of votes cast statewide for assembly candidates. So gerrymandering. They're going to talk about gerrymandering. The U.S. voted against a U.N. Human Rights Council resolution that condemns the death penalty for those found guilty of committing consensual same-sex sex acts. The resolution was introduced by Belgium, Benin, Costa Rica, France, Mexico, Moldova, Mongolia, and Switzerland, and passed by a 23-13 vote margin. CBS has parted ways with one of the company's top lawyers after she said she was, quote, not even sympathetic to victims of the Las Vegas shooting because country music fans are often Republicans. When discussing the mass shooting that unfolded in Las Vegas late Sunday night, Monday she issued a statement of apology.
Never do that. It's headlines. Don't comment yet. Why am I commenting? All right.
A news report by Chicago's Inspector General alleges millions in wasteful spending and widespread mismanagement of overtime pay in the Chicago Police Department. The issue was so important that Superintendent Eddie Johnson said he had to address it himself, even though he isn't officially back on duty yet after just having a kidney transplant 5 weeks ago. And French prosecutors have decided that sex between an 11-year-old girl and a 28-year-old man was consensual, prompting outrage across the country. The man will only face the charge of sexual abuse of a minor, which carries a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison, rather than a rape charge because he did, quote, not physically force her to have sex with him. Those are your headlines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dadgummit. All right, so this is WineCellarMedia.com. I just saw Mo over there up in the joint. You never know what you want to, excuse me, call everybody, huh?
All right. Oh, by the way, Mo offered very nicely and kindly and generously to read some of our hate mail. Because Mo is Australian, so they have that Straya accent yeah. going on. So I think we have a reader.
Okay, for what is it? Reasonable Critiques.
Reasonable Critiques.
I like that name. I like Reasonable Critiques, because that is what they are.
Absolutely.
All right, so I need time to get... Actually, yeah, you know what? You have more days off work than me. You got to go through social dissonance, through those comment sections, and pull those out.
Oh, and just find the funny shit?
Yeah, folks, because I just did two 12-hour shifts in a row, and I'll probably bust another one, because it looks like they're... I don't know if they're running short staff again or if they're just maybe it has to do with the holidays coming up. There's going to be so many days off work with the plantation that they're probably just trying to run as much product as possible. So they just need more people to run more product. That's probably what the deal is. That's what I'm fucking guessing. Right. Right. I'm a guesser that guesses things.
A guesser who guesses things.
Right. Indeedly do, neighbor. All right, we better get to the gosh darn diddly dap dip dip dip.
William Jackson calls me the N-word in front of my mother.
That's right.
This show is fucked up. This show is fucked up.
When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me. Gonna work on Maggie's farm no more. No, I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more. Well, I wake up in the morning, fold my hands and pray for rain. I got a head full of ideas that are driving me insane. This is shame.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
See, why'd you do that?
Oh, what'd I do?
I always time it.
Oh, sorry.
And WineCellarMedia.com, Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund, PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. All right, so, yeah, I am, as we record this, I'm not posting the audio yet, but I've already decided what I'm going to title it, the Milo and the Makes It Official with the House Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all that is, but there's other shit going on other than that, and other shit going on other than some folks getting shot in Las Vegas. Shit, 800 niggas got shot in the Black Wall Street murders. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, so fucking...
And I think like 600 at Wounded Knee.
Yeah, so, I mean, America's done better. Bigger numbers than that. This guy ain't that hard.
And did you see the way they're, like, framing it now? Because a bunch of people were like, you forgot about Wounded Knee, you forgot about Black Wall Street. So now a lot of mainstream outlets are framing it as the worst massacre in recent U.S. history. Because you know how Black Wall Street was like 7,000 years ago.
Oh, you got the stories.
Yeah. No, I had to take some water, man. I'm dying here. All right, I think we're going to start off with the Karis Haunted Dementia Sufferers by pretending to abuse their comfort dolls. That is seriously fucked up. Who does that?
Them.
Two carers accused of taunting vulnerable dementia patients by apparently torturing comfort dolls they believed were real babies are due to stand trial. The images taken at Ashbourne House Nursing Home in Middleton, Greater Manchester. So remember, we're not the only people who are messed up. It's not an American thing. Salud. There's weird shit going on across the whole planet. Salud. The images show the dolls being hanged, put into a dryer, and into a saucepan. Shauna Higgin and Victoria Johnson were charged with neglecting or mistreating those in their care. Higgin is 19 years old, Victoria Johnson is 23, and they appeared in court today. Let's see. Oh, the images were thought to have been taken by staff to show the dolls being put in a dryer and a saucepan. It was alleged that vulnerable residents had been tormented by the abuse of their therapy dolls used to treat those who have dementia and Alzheimer's. Like, so y'all fucked up. Y'all were messing with the Alzheimer's patients. That's messed up. It's thought the pictures were taken and shared among staff members on the WhatsApp. I don't know that one. Do you know that one? WhatsApp?
No.
I can't fucking keep up. It's probably like Snapchat or something.
I don't do that either. I don't do that stuff.
I can't keep up. I'm old.
I was in my 20s when they made the Facebooks and the Twitters. I can't do anything other than what I already know.
You're gonna be one of those old people, huh?
Yeah, whenever the new thing comes along, I'm gonna get fucking left behind. I'll just be like, I really hope you guys come to my website. Mindcolormedia.com. Oh, website.
Officers began an investigation after the images were initially reported in January. Alan Baker, the prosecutor, told the court the charges relate to alleged incidents that happened between December 1st and 26th. So they did this shit for a whole month. And during Christmas? They fucked with Alzheimer's patients during Christmas. These people are assholes. Higgins and Johnson appeared in court together and only spoke to confirm their names, age, address, and indicate a plea. Johnson from Oldham did not enter a plea. You cannot enter a plea in the UK? That's okay. I guess you don't have to enter a plea over there. Higgin pleaded not guilty. They were charged with neglecting or mistreating those in their care, according to Rochdale Magistrates Court. And due to the, quote, complexity of the case, the magistrates referred the matter to the Crown Court after declining jurisdiction. What the fuck is going on with their criminal justice system? Their courts don't have to take cases?
It's run by white people.
Apparently, in the UK, courts don't have to take cases. You don't have to make a plea. I don't fucking know. Crown Prosecution Service lawyer Mr. Baker said, "It is my respectful submission that it is not appropriate for this case to be dealt with at a magistrate's court and should be dealt with at a Crown Court." All right. I'm going to fucking message Sam and be like, explain your court system to me. Photographs show an elderly woman appearing distressed as her doll has been snatched out of her hands by an unknown person. And there are also later images of the same doll face down in a fish tank and the doll hanging from the ceiling. Oh, wow. The defendants were ordered not to contact each other, prosecution witnesses, or anyone concerned with Ashbourne House as part of their bail conditions. They were also told not to visit the nursing home. The dolls are given to dementia patients and vulnerable residents as part of a treatment plan, and some even treat the toys like their own babies. Oh, all right. Well, that's a nice typo. They just put that paragraph back in again. All right, so Higgins and Johnson, I know, the same line about the fish tank. Higgins and Johnson face identical charges, four counts of a care worker ill-treating or willfully neglecting an individual. Each count relates to a specific resident living at Ashbourne House. Wow. So we are going to see what happens with this case. I'm actually kind of want to follow up on this one because they seem really fucking sadistic.
This is kind of a tacky way to comment on it, but fuck it. It made me think of the new season of BoJack Horseman. I think it's season 4. Mm-hmm. And it really, this season digs into his relationship with his biological mother. and she had like a toy horse baby. Mm-hmm. And I think it was something about like her husband or some shit, like making her throw it away or get an abortion or something like that.
Oh.
And so she was playing with that, like, as a very old woman in BoJack's house. And BoJack is BoJack, and he fucking threw it out the off the balcony.
So that's like, they did that on Desperate Housewives, remember? The one, the Latina character, like, when she found out about her real daughter, and then she got the doll, and her husband wouldn't let her, because like, her husband was all mad at her, because she kept talking about her daughter. Because she found out, like, her daughter had been switched at birth with someone else's daughter, and the kid she was raising wasn't actually hers. Remember that?
Oh, fuck, now I do, yeah.
Yeah, and so she got a doll to, like, represent, I guess, her
biological
daughter. Yeah. Anyways.
Wait a second. Damn, wait, did he throw it away or anything like that?
I think he just got really mad at her for using it, so she was, like, in a closet playing with it when he was at work or something, so he wouldn't see her. Like, it was very awkward.
Yeah, see, that's that kind of, I mean, that's that shit that I don't understand, but again, man, just fucking, I'm an I can dick it progressive. What, nigga, you need dolls? Nah, fuck it, then get some dolls, shit, like... Like, I don't have to understand it. I just have to dig it. Like, just, right. Like, motherfuckers, try just digging some shit. Somebody doing some shit. Nah, fuck, man, I can dig it. You know, what the fuck is that? Golden shoes? Niggas wear golden shoes, right? Skinny jeans? All right, fucking put on your fucking skinny jeans. You know, I can dig it. You need a fucking doll? I can dig it. You need a trigger warning? Hey, I got one Penny Loco laced it up. I can dig it. All right? Just fucking help a nigga out. Shit.
But that's not too easy.
But, you know, but if it says blacks only, I can also dig it.
Donuts. That was the best part. They were giving donuts. Black people donuts. Yes.
God damn.
That's fun.
I wonder if anybody who's a family member of a cop was like, I want to speak up, but I don't want the jokes.
Probably. Probably. I'm just amused that the one white woman said that she asked them a bunch of times for, food and they wouldn't give it to her. Like, but you went back and kept asking for like an hour though, because they were only there for 2 hours. But yeah.
And then there's Michael Wright up in the joint talking about. Said yeah, they don't want to discuss what they did to black people. Talking about the big time shooting. Yes. And Cougar said I think it was a combination of having her childhood doll destroyed and the baby from the. Hubby's affair for BoJack's mom. That was dark. Yeah, like, and again, like, and I watched the program and I'm amused, right? Because yeah. That's what I expect entertainment to do, to entertain me. And then I want to talk to other people online about it, but like, I scroll my newsfeed and I see like, oh my god, episode 9, all the feels. And I'm like, well, I can't fucking talk to you about it. Like, I'm like, look at the punchline. It was funny right there where they did the funny joke. I'm fucking jaded, man.
You are.
I'm jaded. I'm always right because I expect everything to be horrible. I wake up in the morning, I'm like, alright, everything's gonna go wrong. How can I try to get out ahead of it and soften the blow on each thing that is guaranteed to go wrong?
That is a very difficult way to go through life, man.
No, it's not. That actually makes things a lot... I'm alive because of that. Like, without that, I'd have been bashed in the head by a hammer by a white man 5 years ago. Yes. Before I even started the podcast, the day that I was going to get the Father Teresa costume, I would have been bashed in the head that day. But because I woke up in the morning expecting a white man to attack me, I was already prepared.
Yeah. You are a walking dystopian novel. All right.
I can't. I live in the world around me. It's not like I'm imagining things. These are real people in real situations on the real world I live in. People just don't like it because I articulate it bluntly. No confusing metaphors.
No metaphors, please. You have a hand up. So, Supreme Court to consider voting rights case. I know this is like the not fun politicky stuff, but this does matter, because if they don't take on this case, then we're just going to have gerrymandering forever. If they do rule on this case, we might make progress for gerrymandering for both parties because they both do it. It's just that
the GOP is doing it right now. Which, if you aren't familiar, gerrymandering is when you divide up a district in order to ensure that your own side keeps winning regardless of what the people actually want. So, politicians are never going to fix gerrymandering. You are the only institution in the United States that can solve this problem, says Paul Smith, an attorney for Wisconsin Democrats, who is bringing forth the current case. This is your last opportunity to act before the next round of redistricting following the 2020 census. In essence, the court is being asked to decide whether such a partisan divide should continue unabated or be reined in. The immediate stakes are enormous. A decisive ruling striking down the Wisconsin assembly map could invalidate redistricting maps in up to 20 other states. Other analysts said that there are at least a dozen House districts that would be open to court challenges if the court invalidates Wisconsin's map. Some place the number of severely gerrymandered House districts as high as 20. This case to be heard is Gill versus Whitford. It's straightforward. It's because the Republicans cemented their majority by adjusting the election map. And in the three elections, the Democrats have been losing. Justice Anthony Kennedy, who likely holds the swing vote on the issue, seemed open to the idea that extreme gerrymandering is unconstitutional. Only extreme, though, apparently, not regular gerrymandering. Kennedy asked a lawyer representing Wisconsin's Republicans whether it would be constitutional for the state to adopt a law that the election map will be drawn for one party to be favored over another. Attorney Aaron Murphy hesitated, noting in this case Republicans did not publicly proclaim they were drawing a statewide map to ensure the GOP would maintain a majority, even though that was the effect of the district lines they created. By the time the argument ended, it was clear Kennedy believes the Constitution should prevent one party from writing a law designed to keep itself in power for decades. What is unclear is whether or not he is convinced the Republicans in Wisconsin had done that behind closed doors when they drew the new legislative boundaries. The argument against that map can be traced to the most significant decision on political boundaries. In 1964, the Supreme Court ruled that all political districts must contain roughly equal numbers of people. In the states, that issue was Alabama, and some districts had 41 times the number of voters than others. Every vote must carry an equal weight, the court stated. To dilute some voters' voices by packing them into more populous districts was a violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. So we are going to follow this. We are going to see what happens. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, man.
Yeah, they're going to fuck it up.
There's nothing good you can do, because it's like it's the everything, right? It's the everything, Charlie Brown. Like, what, you go and you fix up some gerrymandering, you still have every single thing else that is wrong,
right?
Of the other things are still wrong.
And see, and I think too that this is maybe part of the Democratic refusal to listen to non-white voters, because yes, gerrymandering absolutely matters, but so does voter suppression. Because yeah. Even if you have fair districts, if people can't get out to vote or afford to take time off work to vote, or, you know, they're closing down the DMV in your district so you can't register to vote.
Or convicted of a felony. You can never vote again unless you're in one of those states where you can, like, earn it back. Like, all that shit. The whole fucking game is dirty, man. It's always been fucked up. That's the funny thing. Whenever somebody's like, it's a threat to our democracy, when was there ever one? There never was a fucking democ.
We don't have a democracy. We have a hostage situation,
Jesus,
quite frankly.
Christ, like, I mean, what? It started out landowning white males. And then it's like, what? Then colored nigger men and white woman ladies. But then it's like, well, you might get lynched for it. And then, well, we're going to have you at work, so you're too busy for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, how can you trust these motherfuckers counting ballots?
Right.
Like, they have a preference, and if it's a tight one, they're gonna be like that movie with Matthew Broderick, and
yes.
Like, something's going in the garbage, baby.
Yes.
Like, something's going in the garbage. Like, that shit, like, because someone wasn't feeling Tracy Flick. Like, it's gonna fucking happen. The shit's always been filth. And then what? Corporations are people. Fucking flooded money into shit.
Mm-hmm.
Citizens United.
Mm-hmm.
McCutcheon decision.
Mm-hmm.
Did we forget about the... Well, I didn't forget about that. I think about that shit all the time. And then all the way through the whole entire time, Electoral College, through the whole shit, the whole
yep.
time, that's always been there. The fuck you talking about? Threat to... There never was a democracy. God damn it. Alright, one more, and then we gotta get to the Milo, because it's typically very, less... Like, half the people at this tune in live, and I can tell people tuned in because of the Milo title.
Alright, so do you want to do Chicago police wasting overtime money, or France decides child predators aren't actually rapists?
Chicago, man. Like, they,
Chicago. Alright, we will do Chicago. Which, yeah, I had to add a little bit to this story, too. I had to pull in some extra links, that's why it took me so long to get this one up. So, Chicago police accused of wasteful spending and mismanagement of department funds. A report by Chicago's Inspector General alleges millions in wasteful spending and widespread mismanagement of overtime pay in the Chicago Police Department. The issue was so important that Superintendent Eddie Johnson, blackface in high place, don't actually trust him, said he had to address it personally himself, even though he isn't officially back yet after having a kidney transplant. The Inspector General audit looked at Chicago police overtime pay from 2014 through the first 6 months of 2016, and Johnson was not superintendent for most of that time period. The audit found officers racked up excessive overtime to the tune of tens of millions of dollars over budget. The audit also found a lack of management control to prevent abuse, although the city has cost taxpayers $642 million in police brutality settlements since 2004. $642 million.
And that's only 2004 to...
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of years before 2004.
Yeah, like the years that John Burge was working and intentionally beating confessions out of people.
So then you gotta wonder if people are really just getting more settlements now because there's more of a spotlight on it.
I think it's more of a spotlight, and then also, like, people have smart devices. So, like, because, like, you can...
There's evidence now.
Yeah, like, you can record shit now that sounded fucking outlandish 30 years ago. Like, no, seriously, they just walked into my house, said, fuck you, nigger, and started hitting me with a stick. Like, yeah. 30 years ago, people were like, that didn't fucking happen, man. You're like, I Facebook lived it, man.
Yeah.
It's right here. That's literally what they did. So, I think that is also, a huge factor. So that's a lot of money. That's a lot of taxpayer money. A lot of taxpayer money going to the most important functions that are performed in the city by the police department. So controls are fundamentally necessary, says Chicago Inspector Joseph Ferguson. Right, Joseph? We've been holding people accountable already for different overtime issues, and we will continue to do that. Who? When? Who the fuck is being held accountable for anything? This report will help us highlight things that maybe we hadn't looked at, says Johnson. In a statement, the police union criticized the report and said the real issue is that we need more police officers. That's the real issue.
Because then they won't have them covering shifts and getting overtime.
Right.
You just be paying a regular person full time.
Right. Which makes sense. Not really.
That... Because that'll be a major hit in the money. It's like overtime shifts are always shorter. Like, my overtime shift is not a full 8 hours. It's fucking four.
Well, but also, this isn't just people who are getting a salary. It's people who are getting a salary, getting a pension plan, getting a healthcare plan. Like, there's a lot. Chicago officers make... They start off with their base pay. We looked at it one time. It was like, what, like $52,000 a year or some shit?
Yeah, see, man, like, fuck that. Yo, across the board, all cops... $20,000 a year, that's starting and max. That's all the fuck you get, nothing else, and zero benefits and zero pension. Now I put that idea forward because that's my same idea for, like, Congress and shit like that. Because yeah. Then only people who really want to do it will do it.
Yep, I agree. And last year, the Chicago Police Department said it would be hiring 1,000 additional officers over 2 years. So they have money, apparently, to hire 1,000 people. In addition to building a new police training facility in West Garfield Park. For those of you not familiar with the geography of Chicago, West Garfield Park is a low-income black neighborhood, and they are putting a police training facility in it. What do you think will happen?
I should be a cop, man, because I'll just pull over white people all day. Like, anybody black, I just... You know, fuck you, whatever, man. I don't give a fuck what you're doing, really. I don't, like, you could be doing some wild shit, and I'll be like, nah, get away free card this one time. You mob on. I've been pulling over white people and being generally unproductive until they fire me. Like, that's all they're going to do is going to be like, you're not hitting your quota. Yeah, well, you know.
Well, no, but that's the fun thing, though, because then you can be, like, really strict about it, and you can write someone, like, 6 tickets and 1 traffic stop.
Huh.
Right? Be like, oh, you were speeding. Oh, your taillight's out. Oh, you have a front plastic cover on your license plate.
And you're giving me lip.
And you're giving me lip. Oh, you're not going to take this ticket? You let it fall on the ground? That's a littering citation, sir.
No shit, you can do that?
Yeah, you can do that.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Who wants to be a cop with me? Like, I mean, really, more black people being cops, that's the closest you're going to get to reparations. Nigga, we're going to fuck them up. We're going to fuck them up, man.
All right, so they are building a new facility in West Garfield Park, which is surrounded by poor black people. That's going to be fantastic. And the new building sits on 30 acres of land and will cost $95 million to build. So I just want to recap, if we may. They got in trouble because a report says they are wastefully spending their budget money, and we are responding to this by giving them $95 million for a building and paying out $642 million of police brutality lawsuits. Awesome! Clearly, we are about the controls and oversights.
Open up the Milo. Shit.
Fuck this shit.
Somebody come be a cop with me, man. We can do some. We gonna do some shit.
Really?
You gotta go to fucking police academy and shit. And don't you gotta do, like, isn't there, like, weight requirements? Because, like, for a cop, I'm little.
No, it's only, like you have to be able to pass, like, a fitness test, you know. And then, but you only have to pass that, like, when you start. Like, they don't, like, you've seen cops. Clearly, they are not, like, physically mandated to do certain things after a certain amount of time on the force. All right, you want it from the Sacramento Bee, Newsweek, or The Root?
Oh, so I had it in the notes.
Did you?
Yeah.
I totally didn't
see
it.
The Root.
Don't want The Root.
Yeah, I'm trying to get less and less root.
Less rootish.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, they almost do straight news, but they throw in this very generic, black, you know? So, like,
there it is.
It's almost like, you know how people be like, it's corny, or, you know, for some folks it's offensive when white people say some shit that would be considered like a black style of speak. When I hear niggas that are like, I know your style, I know you come from a fucking privileged background and you're running around with your degrees and all that shit, and you like to throw in the little shit like you from my block. No, you not, nigga. You're not, nigga. You're from fucking Central Point, wherever the fuck. Well, what that motherfucker say in that movie, Cruel Intentions? I'm from Fifth and Park.
Yeah. We took you in off the streets. I'm from Fifth and Park. Whatever.
Yeah, y'all Fifth and Park niggas. Like, stop trying to talk like me, nigga. Talk like your white friends you came up with. Fake, nigga.
And your white friends who probably got invited to Milo's wedding.
Yep, and the ones that invited you, but as long as you, wear a bow tie and white gloves.
Milo how the fuck does it, Yiannopoulos?
I don't know, it's
whatever.
It's
fucking bullshit. Fuck Milo, fucking Milo, everybody knows who Milo is. Mary's black boyfriend in Hawaii declares himself worst white supremacist ever. I don't know, I mean, I think Thomas Jefferson has you beat.
Hey, worst white supremacist ever? I mean, that's arguable, because you got no body count. Like, who you kill? Like, how many can we get the pints of blood spilled, at least, from people you've injured? Nothing. So you actually are a pretty weak, ineffective white supremacist.
Well, I mean, but he knows he's weak, so he's like the talking, he's the mouthpiece.
Yeah, he called himself the most dangerous F-word for gay folks.
Yes, I think he's just the mouthpiece, and then he, incites violence against other people, but he doesn't actually want to get his hands dirty. His very dainty hands.
Is he really? Like, is any...
Oh, he got some people fucked up at one of his school speeches because he doxed, DACA students.
Yes.
And a trans student.
Oh, my. Miles weak, nigga. Run up on him yourself.
Yeah, he... this is the Washington Times. This is a conservative outlet, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think it is. This is going to be awesome.
I never read it.
Milo, an openly gay, politically conservative provocateur. hate that they gave him the label provocateur. It's like they're trying to make him sound cool.
No, these
shit.
Niggas are corny ass comedians.
He's often described by his critics as the face of the alt-right movement, married his black boyfriend in Hawaii over the weekend, declaring himself the worst white supremacist ever. I'm gonna flip my phone around so to the camera so y'all can see. Look at this fucking ad in the middle of this article. What in the white is
Broadway
happening?
Broadway star doesn't let diabetes get in the way of
but
her
look
success.
Look at her toes, man.
Is that like, I almost said ballet.
Ballet, yeah. I don't know, that's just funny. I don't know if y'all can see it, but yeah, that's the ad in the middle of my article. All right, Mr. Milo posted multiple photographs of the ceremony on his social media pages, being careful not to show his new husband's face or reveal his last name. So he's literally married to the nameless black guy? The nameless house Negro. All right. The former Breitbart news editor wore a floral print Gucci suit jacket, while his groom wore a white jacket with Blind for Love emblazoned across the back. Blind for Love. Blind for Love, really?
Yeah, right. we colorblind. We don't see color. We don't care if black, white, purple, green, or orange. Orange.
Orange.
They didn't care if he was orange. We really are post-racial. They didn't care. That fucking bullshit screen finally makes sense.
One photo of the reception table settings revealed the mystery groom's first name is John. You married a John, did you?
Hey, you don't know. You don't know if that's true. And it could be a fake name, like, and get, like, hey, Coon Boy, John, if that's your real name. Like, why are you so embarrassed? That's the thing. He does not want people to know that he is this step and fetch it ass nigga to this point. Like, nigga, how? Them student loan debt bills a motherfucker, ain't they? You cooning that hard. That nigga is embarrassed, nigga. He ain't worried about being no fucking doxed or any of that shit. That nigga, he don't want to have to deal with other black people pointing and laughing at your buck dancing ass.
Oh my god. Another photo showed them both on the beach around sunset pouring champagne into a tower of glasses. Another photo shows them sharing a kiss. And another shows the release of several white doves. You know, it's funny, for somebody who's so, like, anti-establishment, this sounds like a very establishment wedding.
He's a conservative.
It's official! They keep saying Mr. Giannopoulos. No, it's official, Milo captioned a picture of the reception centerpieces. The ceremony took place at the Four Seasons Resort in... somewhere in Hawaii that I can't pronounce. What is that, Hualalai?
What? Oh, man. No, I wouldn't try that.
Yeah, okay. So somewhere in Hawaii that I can't pronounce. Milo, a conservative author and journalist whose, quote, dangerous F-word tour sparked protests across college campuses, has been tight-lipped in the past about his relationship with John.
No, he hasn't. He's always said, I'm not racist. I fuck black guys.
Yeah.
He's always said that.
Described in a September 2016 Bloomberg interview as a Muslim man whom he'd been dating for 10 years. You're... Okay. A black Muslim named John, you say?
Yep. Gay black Muslim
named
John. A gay
black Muslim named John.
Yeah. That shows that... how much of this shit is made up? Right. Like, could there have been a real wedding with real ceremony and the government is actually involved? Is that all true? And I saw it, like, head saying, what up?
We can do, like, a FOIA thing on that shit and see if he's, like, legally married.
Nah, FOIA is, because marriage, that's the state, right?
Yeah, but you still have to do it. It has to be federally recognized, too, like, when you file taxes and shit.
Yeah, if it is, if it's something in D.C., most things in D.C. are under FOIA.
I'm gonna look into that. And on that also, I'm thinking too, like, he went on that whole tour. Nobody saw this nigga that whole tour?
No, they didn't. But then, like, think about folks saying, like, PR stunt. PR for who? Because it's not for me.
Right. No.
And it's not for you probably tuned into this program. It's, if anything, it's just to entertain folks like, well, the Honey Badgers and the, you know, that whole MRA squad. It's really just more entertainment for them. Like, I bet those fucking racist white people and their few coons with them, they're laughing just as hard at this coon-ass nigga as we are over here on the black left.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine that it would be a PR just to, again, I'm not racist. I'm with a gay black Muslim man.
But every white person that is, we already know is racist, that does any PR, the people that, us, we never buy it.
We don't.
Like, we know Mitt Romney's racist and his family's racist, even though one of them purchased a black baby that Melissa Harris Perry cried an apology for.
And gave it a horrible name.
What was it?
I was like Kieran or some shit, but that means like black and like Celtic or something.
Ah.
Or like dark skinned and Welsh or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, or like when Trump kisses a black baby and shit. Like, and then you gotta look at the, again, like just how we look at that coon ass nigga. Who them coon ass parents that handed their baby over to Trump?
Who the fuck Coons. Are those ones that made that little boy give hugs to the police? See, fucking white lesbians and shit.
Yeah, see, those some white supremacist, racist white lesbians. Just like the ones who got mad about the sperm donation that came out black. And they're like, what are we gonna do with the hell? And then you find out when you look further into it. I remember covering this story hard. And that they deliberately moved into a neighborhood that they already knew was racist. Mm-hmm. Like, they actually said in the interview, they knew their neighborhood was racist when they moved in. Mm-hmm. Like, so why were you comfortable moving there?
Right. And then the one that we did maybe a month or two ago about the gay couple down in Texas. They have an adopted black son and had the nerve to be, I think it was Texas, it was somewhere southwest, and had the nerve to be offended when their neighbors were like, get that nigger out of our neighborhood. Remember that? And then, like, they're like, they made fun of us because we were gay, and then they made fun of our son because he's black. And I'm like, you moved to, like, the rural southwest. What the fuck were you doing?
Yeah, see, yeah, we don't buy that shit, man. And I doubt that, I mean, there's some people that are going to front like they buy it or whatever, but, nigga, you know Milo's fucking racist. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, man, this is just to amuse his base, and to basically, and also to make his base go back and troll you online, and it blows his name up again. Hell, I'm using it for clickbait.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, paypal.me/PhoenixandWilliam, patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund.
Oh, let's see. In a Facebook posting Monday night, however, Milo complained, the press invented a lie, my husband is Muslim, it came out of nowhere. Nigga, what the fuck? Nigga, you said he was Muslim a year ago. What? All right, hold on. We got off on a tangent. Let me just go back for a second here. Okay. Milo has been tight-lipped in the past about his relationship with John, describing him in a September 2016 Bloomberg interview as a Muslim man he'd been with for 10 years. In a Facebook posting Monday, September 2017, Milo complained, the press invented a lie, my husband is Muslim, it came out of nowhere. I don't know why they are claiming this, I've seen it in a dozen press reports so far. Just an utter fabrication, never checked by anyone, billowing out into the internet and becoming established fact, despite being totally untrue. He is the most dramatic motherfucker ever. Billowing out into the internet. It's billowing, William. It's billowing.
That's all right. We got this one where, at the same time, remember, like, in 10, 15 years, maybe 20, the cool thing for people who are our age and a little younger now, maybe even a little older, is going to be, well, I mean, I supported Sanders in the primary.
I supported Sanders in the primary, and I supported Kaepernick when he took the knee.
Yep. And even Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You realize that the date, as soon as Ruth Bader
RBG. Yeah, that's what people call her. The notorious RBG.
Notorious. All right. When the average white lady, just like every other white lady, dies, I'm just going to post a screenshot of that comment of her saying that. Just a reminder, that's who she was the whole time, always and forever.
Also, maybe include the fact that she was friends with Scalia.
Yeah, some people say, like, that's a small fraternity. You have to get along and be down with each other. Nah, fuck, you're ideologically opposed, and obviously you're really not. You're just the same old fucking elite scum.
Well, they're like, that's the thing, is they say, they pretend like ideological opposition is a significant thing, but it's not. You have different theories about how it should work, but because none of you have to live with the real-life practical application, you don't give a fuck because it's just a theory. So it's okay to debate about it or argue about it because you're not the one fucking dying.
Yeah, and you're just rich fucks in a permanent congressional seat, is all it really is. Like, you're just, like, that's all, like, all she is a fucking, is a 90s Democrat with a permanent seat. Scalia, he's just an 80s Republican with a permanent seat. Like, it's basically, if Orrin Hatch never had to run again, that's Scalia.
Yeah. Milo continues whining. I don't know why they're claiming this. I've seen it in a dozen press reports so far, an utter fabrication. This is how the media works, and it's why you can't trust a word they say.
I'm saying Scalia like he's still alive.
Right, Scalia is dead.
Ha ha, ha 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 ha.
Milo said Sunday he was the worst white supremacist ever, all caps, while linking to a Daily Mail article about the wedding. The Daily Mail article similarly referenced the Bloomberg interview about Milo's boyfriend being Muslim. Fucking.
Let things make sense that make sense.
This doesn't make sense.
So basically, everybody, all content creators, anyone out there, hey, you know what? Cash in on the clickbait, all right? Milo wants his name to pop. Let's use it to our own advantage. I'm doing it right now. God damn it. PayPal.me/Phoenix and William. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. All right, we're about to start covering reality shows. Who's that guy? Jizzy God. Fizz? Or whatever.
Some shit.
Yeah, Jizzy Fizzy Strawberry Drink. Whatever
the
fuck his name
was. What
was
the one they kept talking about? Booby?
Oh, a nigga named Booby? Yeah, reality shows with niggas named Booby and Jizzy Fizz.
But then I saw something today and I almost clicked on it and I was like, But I guess he was married to a singer, Keisha Cole, I think?
You're darn right he is.
And, like, now he wants spousal support and custody of the kids because they're getting a divorce. And I was like, oh, that's the Booby guy. Okay.
Yep, Booby.
I mean, I don't know.
All right. Nah, we can kill it here, man. Yeah, and then whatever we didn't get to, Phoenix Collider's going to get up on the website.
I think most of the stuff that we covered tonight is on the website already, so... Yes.
Good. Good.
Check it out.
All right. And then, so what did I think? What did she say? Because we're on the Zakaya model. So white on white crime and want regular wine cellar free and social justice bullies and,
rooting in the shade
behind the paywall.
Yes.
For a week.
Something like that. Yeah.
All right. We're on the Zakaya model. So this is a regular wine cellar. This is going out immediately. As soon as I hit stop, I'm going to upload the motherfucker. I think it's funny, too. She laughs at weird moments.
Do not. No, because I just clicked back to Facebook to see if I missed anything important, and I just saw a funny post. Anyways.
All it says is fuck Trump.
Oh, that wasn't the one.
That wasn't the one. That's what they all, everybody, that wasn't the one.
So anyways, check out Reading in the Shade. I've been trying to keep news up regularly. Also check out the website. I have been updating news there, trying to get a little more informed, right? That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to keep the world a little bit more informed, so.
Yeah.
We have news there, trying to cover a wide range of things, too.
Always try to get every day, always search for sex workers' rights and trans attacked and trans murdered. Always look for those. Like, because I know, like, when I do these 12-hour shifts, I don't have time to look through my feed. I always make sure I hit those two, just so I don't miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why those ones really, like, I'm obsessed with those, I guess. Like, I think everybody needs to know that this is happening.
Yeah, well, because those don't really get a lot of traction. In mainstream sources.
Man, it's like fucking these are human beings that matter, goddammit.
Well, like there was one that we just, I don't remember if we put it on the podcast. I know we have it on the website and then we have the update on the website about the trans teenager that got killed. Like where they like set her on fire and shit.
Yes.
So I scrolled past that story probably like 25 times because I straight up thought it was a guy who got murdered because the trans person was like dead named and misgendered in all the articles. And it wasn't until I was in like an LGBTQ group that they were like, hey, you know, this is actually a trans person, right? And I was like, what the fuck? But yeah, I scrolled past it for like an entire day because I thought it was just like another, you know, white teenager murdering a white teenager story and had no idea. Well, you know, white male teenager murdering another white male teenager. So yeah, it's hard to find trans stories because of shit like that.
Yeah. Oh man. All right. So I've pumped the monetization enough. All right. Member of Phoenix Kaleeder tweets on the Twitters still regularly. Yeah.
I do. Yeah, very regularly. Yeah. I actually put up a nice little Twitter thread today about why people's knee-jerk response to we need to ban guns is just bullshit and you're probably just racist.
Screenshot that and put it on Reading in the Shade and then we'll
put it on Social Dissonance WordPress.
Oh, and put it on the Reading in the Shade Facebook page.
Yes,
and then we'll share it to the Social Dissonance thing with the link to the WordPress.
Yeah.
Cause like now, I mean, Penny Local got Social Dissonance over 20,000. Let's fucking bring Reading in the Shade up, because they were damn near neck and neck before, but then Penny Loco just blew up the spot.
She did.
Yeah, that fucking, that flag shit. White people, man. It's a cheap piece of cloth that was made in China.
That's not the point.
Damn.
But then also, that's like such a slap in the face to black people. You'd be like, so you literally think a piece of nylon from China is more important than my entire existence?
Yeah. Like, your existence isn't even part of the conversation. Like, fuck that. It can exist or not. They don't care. All right. That's you. That's your goddamn wine cellar, fucko. All right. We got goddamn Facebook Live. I'll tell you what. We got to put an end to this whole Facebook Live. And let the hit finish. Dadgummit. You hit finish and then, come on. Ending live video. Done. Saves it. All right. Podcast audio. Fuck off. Done.